I'll second it.
On favor? I'm sorry, it was terrible.
Russ Wilkin.
No, they both did, so.
I know you. I was looking behind you.
Okay. They're calling back there.
On the wet payment.
All right, so our accounts payable. We have lights for fuel for $757.89. Mount Wheeler, $37.64. Curtis for Delta Capital, $27.27. Curtis Capital for Delta, $16,84.90. Curtis for Colton Capital, $11,385.34. Zions, $260.90. Polk for $1,100. RMP for $18.71. WEX, $757.89. That's double payment because we were running at our credit limit. We didn't get a payment made. Tire stop for $136.21. Length card, $293.55. Larson, $16,591. And Mount Wheeler, $37.81. Any questions?
Delta's, the full testing and the service for our air compressor.
Yes. That wouldn't come out of their annual capital.
No. So I'll take it to this.
Just basic.
Okay. Will you make a note on that?
Anything else?
I don't know if it matters, but I am noticing that last month I didn't realize that part of that merchant business radio should have been our capital. The turnout was only part of our capital. We should have had $475 or four pagers. I can't remember what the total was. They should have been $4,000 on our capital. Didn't matter.
We're trying to keep track of everybody's capital for the year so we need to know what's what.
Okay. Yeah, last month, you had, via email, you said that you had my capital from commercial business radio, but I think it got flipped towards the district instead of our capital.
Okay.
Holden. Excuse me.
And how much was the amount again? Do you know?
Four times 475. I don't remember. I have to go back and find that receipt.
So the turnouts were capital or weren't capital?
The turnouts were capital. It just, that made me realize that it had been separate. The turnouts were capital, but last month we missed some capital for us.
Okay. So for this month?
This month we're good.
We're good here.
Yep.
Motion to pay the bills. Second? Morning. All in favor?
Aye.
If you go to page one of the financial statements, that balance sheet, you can see that the treasurer, that we have a total cash amount is $4.4 million. And we did receive some from the state last year, last month from the property tax for like, I think it was $150,000. And then just on that, the credit card, that's what the credit card balance is on the Zions card. But on that, I'm not keeping track of the WEX, but we may need to apply for a higher credit limit. Because Copeland, I think they only given us like $1,000 or $1,500 limit, and he hit $900, and they said they've done this to me, if you go over, you hit your limit, they just shut your card down, and I don't want him to get somewhere and not be able to jump. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm gonna, I'll see if I can't do that online and just say, hey, I mean, how much do you think you'll spend in a month?
It shouldn't be that much.
Not more than 1,500?
Yeah.
Okay.
It should be around 1,000.
Okay. Then I won't worry about it then if you don't think it's going to be more than that.
Yeah, the credit limit, I believe, was 950.
Oh, that's what it is?
Oh, okay.
$950.
Yeah, so I'll see if they can raise it to 1,500. Okay?
Okay.
Okay. That should.
So, maybe that means you're about fire?
Yeah. You should be starting to see some payments from fires to that truck with that.
Yes, and we have, and those are built, they're all in electronically, and he's got all that.
Yeah, it's all under other income. That's from the very start of the year. But I think we got like $250 or $150 check, and then
there's
been, the last couple, we've been getting them just trickling in.
Yeah.
So
that's going to help cover that much part.
Yeah, and it was... That was, most of those have been coming in August, so they're not on this, on the July one, but they're in, I've been seeing them. So, okay. On the next page, you can see the income's up from June, because we did get a payment from the county, a tax payment for around $150,000. That's on the next page. It shows what they paid us. It says the state of Utah, but I believe it said property tax on it. And then those two payments in the state lands, that's for that. I think that's the reimbursement she was talking about in July. We got two of them. And then I think we've got some more in August, too. So, and then, of course, the O&Ms. And then I will service, I'll change that, too. So, anyway, overall, I think we're tracking as far as our budget. And I also included in here, I forgot, I included last a comparison of the previous year financial income statement, so we can kind of see where you're at this year compared to last year in July. So, actually, you know, the income, we got more income this year than we did last year, but though the expenses are a little, they're about $70,000 more in expenses, so we're a little higher on our expenses than we were last year, but our income is up about $18,000 from the previous year. So I think some of that came from that truck you bought. That's $60,000 of that. Otherwise, you'd be pretty close to last year. So, and then looking at the budgets, it's tracking pretty close. I included on as a whole, the budgets are looking good. But then if you look, I included two pages at the end that kind of breaks it down by station. As of July 31st, it shows where you're at. I'm going to have to check Meadows, because apparently there wasn't anything in Meadows. So I'll go back and look at that. Everybody looks pretty good. Fillmore's a little over budget, and Kanosh is a little over budget. And as of July 31st, there was a few more things that came in on those payables that you approved. And so I didn't include the last one, though. There was a large payment at the end that's not on here that I had already prepared these. But if you can see, as of August 20th, Holden's pretty, they're dead on, so on their budget. And so, but the.
What do you mean by over budget?
It means
how much you, we agree to pay in capital, your capital requests.
And now are we over? I'm sorry, I'm just not following. I just want to make sure we're not. We spent just under what our capital was for last year.
So
you requested $12,240 and you spent $14,331.
Alright, there's some mix ups there, so I'll have to get through them all, leave all and stuff and see. We probably got charged for something we didn't have, or.
Okay.
Or did it just being more expensive than you thought?
No. I got the bill.
We actually used up buying the fans and stuff for less than you wanted.
So, that's like when we get we'll have to talk to Kendall about this. when we get the bills from commercial business radio, typically they just say pagers, and it's not broke down as to who gets them, or and so if we could, you know, break down who, and if they could, if you could give it to them and say, okay, this went to this, and they could just hand write on it, then we could make sure this gets. But typically, the bills we get don't have who or where, or it'll say three stations, and we don't know how to split it up. Yeah, it's the same thing with some of the other we get too. It's just a matter of, you know, like Ropers is one that just says fire district.
I think these two columns might be transposed because I think we're over $300.
Yeah, you're
Holden.
So your actual expenditures are $13,333, and you're budgeted for $13,633. So that's favorable. It means that you're under budget by $300.
It makes more sense that those two columns were.
Yeah, this is an accounting. This is a CPA thing.
That's what I'm saying. Is I know we went over, and I included that in an email when I submitted that because. I got my quote in 2024 and bought the turnouts in 2025 and had to pay the upgrade. And I said we'd be happy to pay the difference, but that's why I'm pretty sure I'm over $300.
Okay, I can. I'll check, and maybe that's where some of the.
Capital, and I give it to him. So.
Yeah, so I'll have to check and see if maybe we got theirs put on
yours. And Fillmore and Delta all bought stuff together. That's where some of the discrepancy is. So mine shows over too, but I don't think we actually went over. We bought some of the stuff from others as we were buying it.
Yeah, and that's like I talked.
That's when I come to talk to you about that thing.
Right.
Trying to figure out what was what, and you kind of went in the wash, and these guys, we pulled from the Fillmore, we pulled from here, and I didn't get any good numbers.
So
it
yeah, that's, and then like I said, that if I can get the breakdown on those invoices, then I can make it accurate. But when I talk to Dick about it, he's like, I just divide it, if it doesn't say, I just divide it equally among all the fire stations, and so that's what I did.
And we might have to have just a little bit of leeway this year where we took on new versus the old.
Yeah.
Coming into this and say next year.
Because I would just assume make sure that it's accurate. When he said that, I thought, well,
right.
Okay. You know.
But yeah, it's new trying to cover from what was old.
Yeah.
Well, I think we're going to run into that when we group buy anyways, unless the group sits down and...
that's what he's saying, like pagers and stuff, needs to have it written, this one by one. It all has to be broke out, even if you're buying it all together, you say, it needs to be figured out right when it comes in.
Yep.
Yeah, so I don't know, like I said, if you just handwrite it on the invoice and say, hey, Delta had this much, and then I can just, I'll just allocate it. Or even you say 10% for Holden and 30% for somebody else, I'll just make the allocation. So, anyway. And that way, I mean, in order to, that will just makes it easier for you guys to budget for the next year. You know, you can actually see what's going on as opposed to just, well, we just get allocated. And so, anyway, yeah. If you could do that, that would make it so that I could make it more accurate. But I'll check on those and see what's what. So, because I did this actual spreadsheet that Dick gave me. So, and I went back and tried to reconcile it to what it was. And so I can reconcile it to the QuickBooks, but the individual districts, it may be off a little bit.
Yeah.
How big a deal is that? Do we need to pull the voice and go through it and fix it? Or
I think for this year, if everybody's okay with it, we'll just kind of let it float where we're at. And strong for the next
year. Right. And from an audit standpoint, the auditor, all he cares about is the gross budget for the district, not you guys individually.
Yeah.
This is something that you
this
guys...
This is just so we keep track of everybody's capital and where we're at on buying your stuff.
Yeah.
We don't have way that overrun.
So in the future, when we buy together, we need to just actually sit down on the paper and say, well,
yep.
Fillmore got this many, Never got this many, that kind of stuff, yeah.
That can't be a separate category. Each parcel. any department has to have their own stuff that, you know, they buy. Is that capital for that department? Is it group thing that can be a separate, you know?
No, because it's something about your capital and his capital. But you bought it together, so we get a good deal. So, so much of it needs to go to you, so much for that.
Unless you can talk to whoever you're buying the stuff from, it's invoicing it for you that way. That would be the only way you can do that.
Any other questions on the financials? Okay, IPA payment. I got a hold of one cap.
Cameron,
yeah. He's on the hunt until next week, so he's supposed to get back to me again next week after he gets all his legal team involved and make plans. Signers, it's all taken care of. Lauren's our third signer. I signed paperwork on that 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, something like that.
And Heather called me. She was having issues with how the district was set up. And I said, it's set up just like the drainage districts, the mosquito abatement. It's
right.
Going to be the same category. And I said, if you need anything from me, call me. And she said, okay, I'll look at those. And then, and she never did call me back. So
yeah.
She must have figured
there's
it.
There's something about state reporting, something that wasn't in there right.
Yeah.
I had to sign a couple extra papers to get it off.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, she never called me back, so.
Yeah, so we're good there. All that's taken care of. We've already discussed the WEX,
yep.
Raising the WEX. If you haven't gotten your own M stuff, make sure you pick up your own M. Surplus items, I wasn't here last month. Where did we end up with that?
We were just in conversation. Whether to just surplus the truck and sell it, you know, they just do. New paper or if the district wants to set up with public surplus, so we'll do our sales that way. Public surplus has been a really good site, really good place to sell things. We've made a lot more money on some older equipment sold through there.
So, is everybody's thoughts on which way to go there? Want to advertise local or go internet and get broader?
I'd say let's throw on the public surplus.
So we'll have to, if we do that, we'll have to get, I guess, the district set up for public, on the public surplus.
You want to take that by the reins, or?
I could. It's not bad.
Okay.
It's probably just need a void and check. And then they, all the money's direct deposit. There's no fees, no nothing. Fees are charged to the buyer. And it's pretty slick, really.
Is that good with him setting that up?
Good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Get that set up. Meadow's got that big up to you, too.
Some junk in the back.
Well, that's great.
That's the gray and the silver.
Yeah.
Dakota. Whatever that they were trying to do. I don't, is there anything else besides that?
The 2008 Ford Meadow Professor. I'm used to it, too. So that covers both the surplus items and the surplus cell of silver Dodge. Set up the site, get them put on it. Casey, do you want to take the lead on that pre-coin stuff?
You bet. Yeah. So thanks for the opportunity to come tonight. So I'm kind of wearing both hats. As a chief, I can see some opportunities to do some pre-fire planning and some incident command system training and just opportunities for us to work with these organizations that are coming in to the county. I know we talked a little bit about it at chief's meeting. With that being said, I want to introduce a co-worker of mine. This is Michelle Stewart, and so she works with the Chevron organization. And tonight we just wanted to talk to you about what we think good looks like as far as working with some of these organizations. And then Michelle's going to talk to you about some of the resources that organizations like the ACES project paired with Chevron could help us with as a district and as chiefs, you know, and then just help us understand with these new projects coming into the county of like ways to be proactive as far as engagements with them. We talked about going to these meetings, the planning and zoning meetings, even just opportunities to let these organizations help us, you know, by resources or training or whatever we can do. And so, Michelle, if you want to introduce yourself.
Okay, awesome. So I'm Michelle Stewart. I've been with Chevron for about 15 years or so. My background is actually industrial hygiene. I don't know if you all know what industrial hygiene is. But basically, I'm an expert in figuring out what's in the air, how it's going to get into our bodies, and if it's going to cause cancer or not. So that's pretty much what I went to school for and what I've been practicing for like 15 years. The other thing that I've been doing is I've been involved in Chevron's emergency response team. So I've worked with the Chevron Fire Department. So Chevron has their own fire departments and like our refineries. And so working closely with them. So I'm the person that's donning on the SCBA with them, going in there, determining can you go in here or not. So putting up the exclusion zones, and then also on the back end, the decon and all of that stuff. The other part that I've done is community response. So helping our regulators, our agencies understand, do our communities need a shelter in place? Can they do they need to evacuate, or are they dead? And I'll tell you, for the most part, they're usually just fine. So that's my background, and so this is a area for me that I'm really passionate about. And just kind of seeing the opportunity working with Casey of trying to help understand, you know, what are the resources that we have available should there be a bad day, right? So we do a lot to make sure we don't have a bad day, but we're all human and humans make mistakes, and so something can happen. And so, you know, we went to a training this last few days, and you know, it's called emergency karma. If you're not prepared for it, it's going to happen. So what can we do to be prepared? And it probably will never happen because we're prepared for it. Or if it does happen, it's going to be really small and minor because we're going to know exactly how to get at it. So.
And then it's kind of interesting. Like I said, I'm wearing a little bit of both hats because I can see from the proactive side, from the organizational side of it, like we're held to these standards, right? We need to operate these facilities safe within regulation and protect our communities. And then from the responder side, like I can see, like as my crew rolls up to a site, where are they going to park? What are some of the hazards? What can I do? What can I do? Who are the experts, you know, on these sites? And so working with Michelle the last year or so has really broadened my experiences on like, okay, this is where us as a group can really benefit from some of this, you know, because we're all volunteers here. We all have most of us have other day jobs, and we don't train for stuff like this all the time, you know, and so there's opportunities for us to understand the hazards, train our guys, and then, like Michelle mentioned, we was in an incident command training the last couple of days. That was a resource that was really beneficial. We can all use ICS, right? But we can all learn how to communicate through ICS better. It's scalable, you know, whether it's a major issue or just something, a small issue, right? And so understanding how to use ICS effectively, you know, is going to be beneficial for all of us.
Any questions or anything you want me to dive in just from what we've said so far?
When you're dealing with hazmat around here, you're talking about diesel spills and that kind of stuff, what I talked about here?
No, a little bit more than diesel spills. So from an industrial standpoint, like for our site specifically, we have the potential for potassium hydroxide, which is a caustic. I know in the power industry, anhydrous ammonia, and then there's sulfuric acid, other chemical treatments, you know, for water, things like that, you know, and so on the...
We don't have anhydrous ammonia, just to be clear.
No, but
yeah.
IPP does.
Oh, they do? Oh,
yeah,
okay.
IPP does, you know, so for the generation. Anyway, So yeah, those are the things that are being transported up and down the roads, right? And so, yeah.
Do you have new stuff too?
Not yet. No.
Yet.
Not yet. Well, there's potential, right? That was one of the discussions.
Brother Holden.
Yeah.
Seen it several times.
Yeah. Yeah, that was one of the discussions, right? Is there? I seen it in the paper. Not that I'm spreading rumors or anything, but like, yeah, there's opportunities for a potential nuclear. Sorry. So, anyway, those are just some of the things that are being discussed. I can only speak for the ASA Delta project and what Chevron has trained us up on, and that's what we want to talk to you guys about tonight. So we just wanted to show you an overview of our site, what our emergency action plan, parts of our emergency action plan, how things that can benefit us as responders, us as a fire district, you know, and then maybe it'll jog you guys into some of the questions of like how organizations like Chevron can help us be better prepared, and then we can build those relationships as far as them with the organization and us as a community and first responders. So, do you want to take the time and show? So, as she's pulling this up, I'm just going to pass it around. So this is a pretty neat resource that I just picked up. So this is the Incident Management Handbook. So this is one of the examples that, it's a pretty dang great tool, you know, for ICS, you know, and it's been pretty proven, you know. I mean, they've dealt with some very large incidents, you know, and they've been able to put together these booklets, you know, and these are some of the resources that I'm referring to. That, man, I can have this on my desk, you know, and whether I'm at home in Scipio or I'm at work, you know, it applies in both ways. Stuff like this, you know, maybe this is what a site plot plan, you know, maybe other industries, you know, maybe Sawtooth, maybe I heard Draymond today. I don't know what their emergency action plans look like, but I would hope it would have something like this, you know, that would show you where some of the valves are, some of the underground pipelines are, you know, things like that. But I've learned that this is what I'm going to strive to at the ACES Delta project, and maybe us as a district, you know, when we're having these discussions or we're going on site and seeing these facilities, that, you know, we can be asking these types of questions.
So ICS and Pitch Man System, it came together partially from different things, but it actually started from wildfire responders. And in California, they had built together NIMS. So anyone familiar with the Oakland fire that happened in Oakland Hills? They had the local firefighters come and respond, and they had Cal Fire there. And they kept on having different language. So one would say, I don't know.
Later, you know, I mean, I know there's a lot of concerns about staffing, you know, how are we going to handle things like this, you know? Those are some of my concerns. Sorry,
we responded out there. That's what I say. It looks like kind
of
an
example. Oh yeah. Well, but
it's a neat facility. With I mean, it, there's
you've got like, it comes built in safety stuff.
Oh yeah.
Tons of safety stuff. There's everything sprinkled. Everything's there's fire hydrants. Everything.
Who provides like this?
Is the district paying for it?
That's what it's being used in.
That's software.
So if they shut the power down, you shut down.
Oh yeah.
I mean, in case of emergency.
Yeah, no, it's by design. You know, there's in a switch yard. But I mean,
but that's a good point. It like talks through how would we shut down this electricity when you're right? And having that.
Yeah. You know, and then that's what that is. While Delta might be the responding facility, we also have Lindell, Leamington, Hinkley. You know, I mean, it's in effect. Everybody, right? Because when you get a big enough response, we're going to be pulling people in, you know? So, I mean, while the majority of the burden might be shouldered by Delta, it could affect Fillmore. You know what I mean? I mean, we have mutual aid between all of us, you know, and so, and then we're even talking about, Dave was mentioning hazmat trailers, you know, one on the east side, one on the west side, you know, I mean, it might be potential for all of us to, at some point in time, whether we're covering response while Delta's busy working on something out there, you know, so we're taking over that area or covering, you know, so it could potentially affect all of us, so. Just want to keep that in mind, is it's not just a Delta problem, you know, it's not just a Hinckley problem or a Levington problem, you know, kind of what Jason was talking about earlier in Chief's meeting, right? It's all our Miller County's problem, in my perspective.
It's a gift.
Opportunities, yeah.
No, so I think something I like to think about too is making it real, right? And so there's Casey and I have been talking about is, you know, where there's opportunities where we can do drills, we can do scenarios where we actually sit down, walk it out. You know, what communication is going to be needed?
What radios
do we use, right? And then from there, you know, depending on, you know, it could just be a quick thing and it's done and everyone goes home, or it's something that may be a little bit longer and we need to bring in more resources. And that's where, you know, from a planning side, we can bring some of our support, you know, from our side for the site. So just kind of having an opportunity to break bread and talk through it.
Yeah, I think that was the intent tonight, was just to not necessarily problem solve tonight, but we just wanted to propose some ideas of what things could look like in the future, give you a plan of like what we would think good looks like, you know, and essentially introduce you to Michelle and vice versa, you know, and want you guys to understand that they have a vested interest in our community, our county. I mean, it's...
We want to be in Delta for a long time.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yep. One of the thoughts that Michelle and I was talking about, let me do a little bit more research. If there's nothing else, guys, sure appreciate your time. Thanks, Michelle, for coming down. Like I said, she's a very valuable resource. So if there's other questions that come up later on, you know, feel free to let me know and I can run it through the proper chain and maybe get some answers if I don't know it myself.
He has me on speed dial.
So much, yeah.
I have him on speed dial.
That's right. But thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
One item I overlooked was the discussion on O&M payment deposits. It's on the list.
Well, we were talking about having them direct deposit it from the district to the fire stations.
Right.
But I think you and I talked about
it. We talked about it, but it was on the list.
Yeah, and I don't know. It was just if we were going to try and decide to do it.
We were looking at the direct deposit again, and they charged a bunch per deposit.
$25 per deposit.
Is it a direct deposit?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what Zion's told me when I asked him if we could just transfer, because I transfer between accounts and they don't charge me, and they said, it'll have to be an ACH. And the other thing that might be an issue was with each individual city or town, the treasurer or the clerk may not like that because this money just shows up in their account and they don't know how to account for it. Mm-hmm. So... anyway, but...
Okay, that's what I just want to go back and cover it.
Yeah.
So we're sticking to checks for now?
Yeah.
How far out were some of those getting? I don't know. If you don't...
Some of them were...
for the next check, you don't get your next check?
Was some in October or something like that I had to reissue, or April?
Yeah, there's one here for somebody that we had to reissue.
For April? Yeah.
Mine found. That was taken care of. Other business is an update. We do have the title for the cohort right now. Finally, the feds got that to us. So there was a repair that the BLM was not going to cover, so it's going back to the shop to get a repair before it comes to us. So
you know when to expect that?
Our BLM guy is assigned to a fire right now, and I happened to catch him on his phone, and he he was hoping he could get somebody to take it back to the shop in Salt Lake for us to get it fixed, because nobody around here wanted to attempt this repair. And they're supposed to let me know when it's at the shop. I imagine it'll be a week or so at the shop, and then they want to come down and do a meet and greet and photo shoot. And so. Yeah. So that's moving forward. Any other business we need to discuss?
Just a thought. We're only a couple months from October. Time to start thinking the capital purchases again.
Okay.
Make motion to adjourn.
Okay. If we, like I said, if you haven't got your O&M check, come up and get it.